We continue our series to be equipped to be a disciple maker for Christ. And today we study about accepting one another. Let's come to the Lord in prayer. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you for accepting us in the Lord Jesus Christ so that we can accept one another. Father, help us, guide us through your word this morning and help us to study and to follow your word so that we will succeed in our ways and blessings from you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. We have heard this passage in Romans chapter 14 from verse 1 to verse 7, chapter 5. We see here that it talks about food and it talks about a day of rest or a feast. But we see here, the point is not of food, but of love. Today, we have to face with that same issue of love. Sometimes we limit our love. If you do this, then I will love you. If you do not do that, then I will not love you. But the Apostle Paul started with, we are to love one another and accept one another. In verse 1 of chapter 14, those who did not meet, Paul called the weak in the faith, are called to accept the ones who do not, the one who do not eat meat are called to love, to accept the ones who do eat meat, and vice versa, and do not look down on those people. So the answer here, the secret here, is to accept one another. To us, nowadays, to eat meat or not eat meat is not an issue, but to drink wine or not drink wine, that is a problem. And there are other issues amongst the Christians nowadays, such as to go to a theater to watch a movie or to gamble or do not have devotion in the morning or when you go to a restaurant that has dancing or wine or whatever. Maybe you're just smiling when you hear me list this. And there are other things in this list too. And you may say, these things, some are serious and some are not. But you have to remember that the purpose is that we love and accept one another. And this is the foundation, the basis, and the attitude, the basic foundation or attitude that we must have of grace is that we must accept one another. In this passage, I would like us to study together three things that we can apply so that we can accept one another. First of all, we need to understand the weak in faith. The weak in faith is one who does not understand yet the freedom that we have when we place our trust in Christ. They are still imprisoned, bonded by their experiences before coming to the Lord. Paul speaks of eating. As for the one who is weak in faith, welcome him, but not to quarrel over opinions. So these people who are weak, they ate vegetables, and they often criticize those who eat meat. If you eat only vegetables, it's not necessarily that you are of weak faith, right? If that person likes to eat vegetables and not eat meat, I know some people like that. Or contrary to that, some people just eat meat and not vegetables. It's not a matter of weakness in faith, but the point here is that the person who was eating vegetables think that he is better than the others and criticize those who ate meat. And so that person was weak in faith. The thing that confirms one who eats vegetables and they are weak of faith is whether they criticize other people or not. The same way, those who were keeping the ceremonies, the Sabbath, they believe that if they keep those days, then it's good and God will be pleased. And if they do that because of God, there's nothing to say about. But the thing is that they criticize other people who do not keep those days. The weak in faith, if they keep the time and the day for God's glory, then there's nothing wrong with it. But the wrong here is that they criticize those who do not keep it. And those who are strong, quote unquote, strong in faith, are those who keep the freedom that they have in Christ. They are no longer under the laws of food. In the past, they could not eat frog legs or they could not eat pork. But now, Christ has rescued them and given them freedom, and there's nothing that is evil anymore. And so Peter, on the top of the roof, he saw in the sheet all the unclean animals. And God says, stand up and eat. And Peter says, no, Lord, I have not touched these unclean things. But God says, don't consider what I consider clean to be unclean. And that was repeated three times, and that sheet was taken up to heaven. And God let Peter know and understand that he now can go to the Gentiles and it won't be anything unclean. And so he went down to welcome the centurion that came to his house. The strong one is the one who knows that they have freedom in God. They are not accepted by God because they do this or that. But what is wrong about them is that they look down on those who do not obey the laws of the past. And they consider themselves those who are of knowledge and understanding and see other people as not. And they want to encourage other people to do it. Let's say that they drink wine and the other group say, drinking wine is wrong. And so they bring out the wine and say, oh, you're a man and you don't know how to drink wine. It's like a flag without a wind or whatever it is. They criticize and they make fun of the other person and encourage the other person to drink wine. That is the wrong attitude here. One who is truly strong in the Lord is one who is understanding and accepting to those who have a different understanding than ours. To understand that to love God is the motivation for a person to drink wine or not wine. The one who drinks wine drinks because of the Lord, and the one who does not drink wine drinks because of the Lord. One who eats meat is for the Lord, or the one who does not eat meat is for the Lord. And to accept others of different mindset than ours. We no longer live for ourselves, but live for the one who raised us from the dead, or who rose from the dead also. And that we will stand before the judgment seat of Christ, and we will be responsible. God tells us to not be drunk of wine, but we think that, oh, we're so freeing God, and so we would just, in the midst of unbelievers or whatever, drink wine and be drunk. We must stand before the judgment seat of God and answer to those things. But if we also drink wine that causes the young people to stumble, and the young people say, oh, look at that older person in the church, they're drinking wine, and so they start to drink. Don't be a stumbling block to others. Don't allow our actions to be a stumbling block to others. Accept those of weak faith and not turn away from them because of a different mindset. Pastor Joel Stoll, this is his what he says. Concentrating on the fault finding is a popular pastime, and unfortunately a lot of us find it's easy to join the fun. Concentrating on the worth of others is a great way to feel better about yourselves, and that's just the problem. Avoiding the faults that need to be fixed in our own lives not only stunts our spiritual growth, but also obstructs God's work through us. God's effectiveness through our lives will enhance... I'm sorry, I can't read it all. Do not criticize those who are different from you or avoid things that you do. Those who avoid, they avoid for Christ. And those who do it, they do it for Christ. If you are able to open up a beer can and say, praise the Lord, and give it to the other person, well, you do it for the Lord. I don't agree with that. Do not use your the weakness of faith to persecute other brothers and sisters. We need to live in love. And the second is that we accept one another, is that we need to walk in love. To walk in love. To stride in love. To act in love. What does that mean? To act in love is that we will not condemn or criticize or judge our brothers and sisters, and not be a stumbling block for our brothers and sisters. To act in love is not to hurt our brothers and sisters, to not cause them to perish for the one who Christ has died for. To act in love is to not destroy the work of the Lord, to not cause a stumbling block for others, to not cause others to fall. That is to act in love. You have the freedom. Eat what you eat. Drink whatever you drink. But whatever it is that you do, if it causes a stumbling block for others, then you are not walking in love. You are living for yourself selfishly and not to edify another person. What does it mean to walk in love? That is to follow and pursue what brings about harmony and edify one another. To walk in love is to sacrifice whatever is beneficial to you so that it does not cause a stumbling block for others. That is to walk in love and act in love. Here it says that, for if your brother is grieved by what you eat, you are no longer walking in love. And so God wants us to live in love, to walk in love. And the word love here is agape love, which is to cherish your brother and sisters. Agape in English is to have love for someone based on sincere appreciation and high regard. Based on sincere appreciation and high regards. God cherishes us even though we are not cherishable. He hides us in high regard, holds us in high regard, though we are not worthy of it. And so God wants us to also walk likewise in love. We need to cherish our brothers and sisters. Do not hurt them. Do not cause them to fall. Accept the weak in faith. And accept those who are of a different mindset than ours. Ephesians 5:2, and walk in love as Christ loved us and gave himself up for us, a fragrant offering and sacrifice to God. Walk in love as Christ loved us. That is like a sacrifice that is offered up to the Lord. It is a fragrant offering. And God is pleased and happy when we help each other and accept one another. Our first responsibility is to love our God. And when we love our God with our soul, mind, and strength, and the result is that we will love our brothers and sisters. To love those in Christ, for Christ loved them. We don't need to like what they do, some of the things they do, but we can love them despite those things. We can set aside the actions, their actions, so that we can reveal to them that God loves them to what extent. That is agape. And sometimes, because we lack walking in love, so we often wrongly accuse other people, or we judge them wrongly. We don't understand their situation. We don't understand what's going on with them. Yet we just see them and we judge them. Only God knows their situation. And only God knows the motivation behind their action. John Wesley shared about a person that he shared that he does not respect this man much because he saw this man was very greedy. And one day, he called everyone to give to this charity organization. And that person, that greedy person, only gave a little bit. And John Wesley criticized that man. After a short time, that man came to meet with John Wesley and said to John Wesley that in the past weeks, he only ate turnips and drink water, And he shared that in the past, before he came to know the Lord, he owed a lot of debt to many people. And now that he came to know the Lord, he tried to not eat so much and not use so much money so that he can save up to pay back for those who he was in debt. He said, in the past, I was a dishonest man, but now I want to show them that a person who believes in the Lord is a righteous person. And so therefore, I have fasted and not eaten and drink much besides the tenth that I give to offering. I cannot give extra. And so he came to share with John Wesley. And John Wesley was so ashamed that he apologized to this man and asked for forgiveness. We do not know the situation, the circumstance of a person. We do not know why they eat meat or they don't eat meat. Maybe they have problems with their health that they cannot eat meat. So we cannot judge them. There's a song that when I was little, I learned. Don't look at a holy shirt, a shirt with holes that you laugh, or a long shirt that you adore. Because there's no short shirt, they wear a long shirt. We do not know why. So if we want to accept one another as Christ accepts us, we need to walk in love and act in love. To act in love, let us not judge our brothers and sisters. For it's very easy for us to judge another person when we do not understand their circumstances and we do not understand their motivation. So to accept one another, first of all, we need to accept and understand the weak in faith. Second is to act in love. And third is to bear with the failings of the weak. To bear with the failings of the weak. We rather sacrifice so that we can build them up. Jesus Christ took on the blasphemy and everything else of those who persecuted him. So we can also bear the failings or the weakness of each other. We often focus on the Christian life of our own self. And we have a tendency to be individualistic. But the Bible emphasizes the life of community. Romans 15, 1-7 teaches us to live in harmony in a community. First of all, we live not to please ourselves. In verse 1 of chapter 15, we who are strong have an obligation to bear with the failings of the weak and not to please ourselves. We accept one another by taking on the failings or the weakness of others. We do not live to please ourselves, and we do not live to please other people either, because if we live to please other people, you're going to suffer. For 100 people, 100 different thoughts and desires and needs. We don't live to please ourselves. We do not live to please others. But we live to please who? To please God, our Lord Jesus. We come from all different cultures. And we have different cultures within the family. And when we come into the church, we bring all that into the great family of God. And if we truly want to live in harmony in the family of God, we need to understand that our purpose is to live pleasing God. The strong will help the weak to bear the failings of the weak. We walk together in this journey to heaven. And those who have walked farther up, let us not criticize those who are behind us, but let us turn around and pull the hand of those who are weaker. We are in the same heavenly journey, and we need to acknowledge that though we may be farther and higher plane than another, yet we have not met the goal yet. And so we need to encourage one another. Maybe the one who goes before us slides backwards, and the one behind will lift them up. We need to take the burdens of each other, bear the failings of the weak. Each one of us has our weakness and failings. So we need each other. And secondly, we need to try to strive to live in harmony. In verse 5, may the God of endurance and encouragement grant you to live in such harmony with one another in accord with Christ Jesus. So we try to keep the harmony, though we have differences amongst each other. Lack of harmony comes from what? What do you think? Why is there a lack of harmony? We lack harmony when we go according to our own way, our own will. That is lacking harmony. I enjoy watching the marching bands, how they play each instrument. And just recently, I see a group of bikers. They bike and they play different instruments and play the drums together. Why is that? Because there's a leader in the front. There is one who goes raising his arm up and down, and everyone walks in the same rhythm. If everybody walks according to their own rhythm, then it's not a marching band. So there is harmony because they look at the person in the front leading. And we have harmony with one another when we see Jesus Christ. When we look upon Jesus Christ, look at His example, then we will have harmony. When we look upon Jesus Christ, He loves, He forgives, He harmonizes. We live as Christ lives. And that's what it says here. We live in harmony with one another, in accord with Christ Jesus. To look upon Jesus Christ, not look upon other people. If you look upon other people, you will fall. Because that person thinks he's an elder in the church, and yet he speaks two words. Or you think about the pastor, wow, he's supposed to be kind. Why does he get angry? Then you will fall. Only look upon the Lord Jesus Christ to walk, so that we will have harmony. We will have unity. We will bear with one another so that we will, with one accord, praise the Lord and serve Him. If you walk with Jesus Christ and I walk with Jesus Christ, then we will have harmony and that will bring glory to God. And the third way is that we welcome one another in Christ. We welcome one another by bearing with one another, accepting one another as Christ welcome us. Welcome one another as Christ has welcomed us. How has Christ welcomed us? Think about it. How has Christ accepted you? How did Jesus accept you, young people? Are you acceptable? Are you? Are you acceptable to your parents? You're not, right? Sometimes we are not acceptable, really. We're not acceptable to God. We're under the condemnation of God. And God, who is one who is full of righteousness, but yet he's full of he must punish sin, and yet he is full of love. That verse that says that God is love, in that verse is also that God is full of condemnation. He has to punish sin. For God so loved the world that He gave His only Son, that whoever believes in Him will not perish but have eternal life. Whoever accepts the Son will see life, but those who do not accept Him, the condemnation of God will be on him. So God is a jealous God, a God full of condemnation. And before God, we are sinners worthy of to be under the condemnation of God. If God destroys us and He places us in hell and He burns us, then that is worthy. We are worthy of God's punishment. But God is also a God of love and kindness. Instead of being under condemnation of God, Jesus took on all that punishment, all that condemnation. And now we're under the love and righteousness and kindness of God. And on the cross, Jesus took on all that condemnation. And now He tells us to accept one another. There are things that people cause us to be angry and wants us to pour our condemnation on them. But God has taken it all. And God has calmed His condemnation through Jesus Christ, so that we can also accept one another. We need to accept one another as God has accepted us. We are not deserving of God's acceptance, but now we need to accept one another, whether they are acceptable or not acceptable. Not because one who dresses well that we come too close to them. Oh, they have a sweat, a smell on them. We don't want to get close to them. Or one who speaks very well, we're close to them. But the person who speaks so not well, we're not close to them. No, we need to accept one another and love one another, for none of us are worthy of being accepted. Yet God accepts us, and therefore we accept one another, even though they are not acceptable. And I know in this church, I'm so sad that there are those who do not have harmony with one another. If that person comes to the Bible study, I would not come. If that person goes to, that woman goes to church, I would not go to church. It's so sad. We need to pray for one another and love one another. To accept one another, we also need to instruct one another. Not to accept that that person is wrong. To love is to accept, but also to help them. A child, though he may be playing in the mud, the mother still loves that child and will wash that child to be clean. That's love. The same way, we need to instruct one another. The Bible says in verse 14, I myself am satisfied about you, my brothers, that you yourselves are full of goodness, filled with all knowledge, and able to instruct one another. One who is able to instruct one another is one who is of a kind heart and understanding. If you have understanding and no kindness, you do not have the ability to instruct. For that person would just speak out and criticize. You think you will edify and encourage the other person, but you cause the other person to be more angry and farther apart. You come to that person and see that they don't worship God on Sunday, and you come and you speak to them, and that person continues to be angry at you. No, you need to have both. You have to have full of goodness and filled with all knowledge. You need to be full of kindness and knowledge to teach God's word in kindness and love. We need to have God's word, and we need to have love, God's love, in order to instruct one another. Aside from understanding and knowledge, that person must have the character of God, that is, to have the love of God, to love your brothers and sisters enough to instruct your brothers and sisters when they are wrong. There are people who do not love enough, so they don't dare open their mouth to instruct their brothers and sisters. They're wrong, but then you don't open your mouth to help them out. But we who have love and we have knowledge, we need to instruct our brothers and sisters to walk in the ways of the Lord, to instruct one another, to help one another to grow and mature in Christ. I have been loved and instructed by other people, and I really cherish that. And I believe that you are like that too. If there is someone who truly loves you and have words to instruct you, to help you, then you will listen to their instruction. Instruction has an effect when the instruction is instructed in love and knowledge. And then we need to pray for one another. We do all these things. We see our brothers and sisters weak and falling, and we help them. We act in love. We bear their weaknesses. But let us not forget to pray for them. Because of love, we pray for them. In James 5:16, therefore confess your sins to one another and pray for one another that you may be healed. We accept one another. Receive one another. Welcome another person into our lives. And one of those things that we can do is that we pray for that person, to remember them and pray for them. In the Covenant Home Altar, like a devotional, the Covenant Home Altar, this is what she shared. When I was growing up, my mom was deeply involved with the various activities I participated in. She would often tell me, make sure Heather feels included, or ask Julie to be your partner, or invite Kristen to sit with you and your friends. I sometimes dreaded hearing those words. What if I just wanted to be with my friends? Why should I have to make sure that those people weren't having fun? We need to accept and welcome other people into our family, into our church, into our lives. There are people who just automatically want to take themselves away outside of the groups. They don't want to be a part of the Bible study groups or parties or to sing. Let us not be like that. Let us not push them aside. But we need to draw them closer to us. Maybe there are those who are angry, and when you say something, they become defensive. But let us not because of the differences, not because of their different attitudes or characters, that we don't accept them. The point here is, do we accept them and receive them and welcome them as Christ welcomes us for the glory of God? So the question here is, how has God accepted us? God accepted us though we are not worthy and deserving to be accepted by God. And so therefore we need to accept our brothers and sisters though they are not worthy or not worthy or worthy that we accept them. May the Lord help us to mature in God, and that we will become disciple makers for God. First of all, we need to be a disciple of God. And a disciple of God is one who lives according to Jesus Christ, to be like Christ. And so, as Christ accepted us, we need to accept one another. And then we instruct others to also live in harmony, to love one another, to welcome others into our lives, into our church, into our families, into our small groups, into our loving groups. Let us come to the Lord in prayer. Our Heavenly Father, we pray that you will help us to live in your word, to live in your guidance. Help us, Lord, to love one another, to accept one another, though we have different thinking, different mindsets, in our thinking, in our theology, in our habits. But Lord, we see that your word teaches us that it's not because of those things that we are apart from one another, but by your love, we will accept one another. Thank you, Lord, for accepting us in the Lord Jesus Christ. It should be that we are under your condemnation, that we are pushed away by you. But Lord, you have loved us, forgiven us, and cleansed us and accepted us in the Lord Jesus Christ. Help us, Lord, to be grateful to you, Lord, and accept one another. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.